When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Boom. We're in the room.
It's quite funny.
I was doing a rap then.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Did you see on Joel and Hannah's podcast this week?
No.
That it's, what's it called? Never Have I Ever. Mm. Where this is Joel Dommett and his wife Hannah Cooper Dommett. Is that right? Cooper Dommett?
I just call her Hannah Cooper.
Yeah. Mm. They have a podcast where they do things, but they try things that they've never tried before. It's very funny, but their Instagram posts are very funny. But there was one this week where she's done a kind of Lily Allen style rap about
was that
something.
The thing Never Have I Ever?
I think so. I don't know, but it's obviously just in their podcast where she decided she was going to do some kind of rap.
I love her so much.
Yeah, she's funny.
She's so brilliant.
What she does have is a very contagious and infectious laugh.
Yes.
And she does it all the time. Mm-hmm. She laughs it all the time. I mean, Joel must think he's the funniest comedian ever.
He is quite funny, though.
He is, yeah. But there are lots of comedians out there, of course. Mm. But she laughs at everything. And I think, it's so great.
Do you want me to laugh more?
If you could up your laughter rate at the things I say.
I've got a problem, though. I've got a problem in that.
I don't say anything funny.
But there is that.
Funny. Yeah.
But also, I silently laugh. I'm laughing at you with you all the time. Mm. And
mainly at me.
You don't hear it.
Okay. Well,
I have this open mouth thing that I do, and I'm really fucking laughing.
Good.
You can't hear me.
Okay, yeah, you do the silent, like, inside laugh, yeah, and I think, she's really laughing at that.
I'm going to get Hannah to give me lessons.
Okay, yeah. She's very good to be around. She really boosts your confidence.
Isn't she?
Because she laughs.
She doesn't boost mine, I'm just letting you know that.
Yeah, but you would say something funny and she would laugh and you'd think, funny.
But then I look at her and I go, fuck.
Yeah, she's like she's been made in laboratory, aren't you?
We went out on New Year's Eve and walking into a room with Joel Dommett and Hannah Cooper is ultimately quite brilliant because everybody looks at you and you go, look, everyone's looking. Okay, they're looking at them.
It's like being in Goodfellas, but I'm Joe Pesci.
Yes, and I'm Joe Pesci's wife.
Yeah, and they're like Ray Liotta.
And I don't even have a name. I'm just Joe Pesci's wife.
They are stunning. They're a stunning couple.
Oh, God. And like lovely, you know. Mm. Normally you'd go, they're gorgeous, but they're not.
No. Is that what you normally do?
Yeah. Oh, look, they're lovely. But or you'd go, you know, they must be horrible people, but actually. Or no. I take that back.
Yeah.
Beautiful people get an easy and a rough ride.
Yeah, I know.
They get a rough ride because they are beautiful and people think they are vacuous and they have nothing to say.
Yeah, I know.
And Hannah...
It took me a while to get that. It's okay. But
you had to say it twice.
I did it twice. I cracked the joke twice.
But
if only Hannah Cooper was here to laugh at that.
Where is she now? Let's call her.
Anyway, she does a rap, and it's really kind of bad and good, all wrapped up at the same time. But then they roll about laughing, and it's just very funny. You know, it's like when you see somebody laugh on the Instagrams or anything. It's just a joyful thing, and it was very funny seeing that those two really laugh.
Find
at
it.
Yeah, please do. It'll be probably on her.
At her laugh.
It'll be on her Insta.
I just want to say, I was going to say something very interesting, and I've got a feeling that lots and lots of people are going to
write
to us and go.
Well, what were you going to say? You can do it now.
No, it's too late.
You were talking about good-looking people, and you think they're kind of vacuous and kind of daft, but...
And I don't.
No.
I took that back.
You took it back.
Mm. Which one is it?
Let's have a look.
Oh, she's...
What?
She is Cooper Dommett. I think that's new.
No, she's always been Cooper Domett since they got married.
No.
I think so. I've always known her as Cooper Domett.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah. Press it.
Song that's going to bust the charts.
Sorry, I'm on the spot.
Oh, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hannah Nash.
Yeah, so then I walked into the hairdresser and I was like, how are you? Are you going on holiday? And she said, yeah, me too. Where are you going? I said, I don't know, but I fancy a 2-week all-inclusive. How about you?
What is going on?
Oh my God, I'm a lyrical genius.
I knew, as soon as you rhymed you with you, I knew you thought you were a genius.
It really, really made me laugh when I saw that. Yeah.
Wait. Silent laughing. Yeah, she's doing just, it.
Yeah.
That's she's good. Doing it too.
But not to take away from her own podcast, but you can go and listen to theirs as well, if you like. yeah, they make me laugh, those two, a lot. Now, you can hear some noise in the background.
Yes.
I'm boiling an egg.
Sometimes, some weeks, I just think to myself, I hope he doesn't spring any surprises on me.
Oh.
But this week, I'm actually genuinely excited.
You're looking forward to this.
Firstly, because eggs are my number one favourite food.
Yeah.
We don't eat enough eggs.
Yeah, keep talking.
I love eggs in all forms. And when I found out that it was wrong about 2 a day being more than 2 a day or something being bad for you, I've never been so happy. I could eat eggs for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Okay.
And not get bored of it. What?
It hasn't worked, so it doesn't matter.
What were you doing?
So, I saw a thing on the Instagrams this week.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really kind of good.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm buying one straight away, because it just looks great.
Mm.
And then I thought, oh my gosh, a podcast recommendation, this. And I'm thinking, should I recommend it? Shouldn't I recommend it? So, this is why I think I should recommend it. First of all, if you've got kids and you'd like to feed them eggs and they won't eat eggs, no. If you've got kids that like eggs but won't eat the yolk.
And the yolk's the yellow bit. I'm sorry to sound really, really dense there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The yolk's
okay.
The yellow bit, right?
Yeah.
Let me give you some facts about whites. Let me give you some facts about egg whites and egg yolks.
Yes.
So I'm going to do egg whites first, right?
Is this from the box of the thing that you've just tried and it doesn't work?
Yeah. No, it's not the... I haven't done it right. I did it in a rush. I panicked.
Oh, okay.
We're late tonight. We're 7:15 on a Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a bit of a flap because we're hungry, aren't we?
Yes, we're hungry.
So we're gonna order something on the delivery shortly.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, I'll do this quickly. And then I've done it wrong. That's all.
Okay.
Anyway, so egg white. How much vitamin A is in an egg white?
How much?
Nothing. Vitamin D, nothing. Vitamin E, nothing. Vitamin B12, nothing. Calcium. 0.2
in an egg white.
In an egg white. There's virtually nothing.
Yeah, I mean nothing.
It's all protein.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. There's 3.6 grams of protein
in
the egg white.
In one egg white.
Yeah, and virtually nothing else. There's some folate, whatever that
is. Yeah, folate's important.
Yeah, folate's important. Calcium is in there as well, right?
And calcium's important.
But in the yolk.
What?
Wow. Everything in the yolk. Vitamin A, 244, whatever that is. Vitamin D, 18. Vitamin E, 0.5, but vitamin B12, 6, folate, 23, calcium, 24, protein, 2.7. I don't know, but it's loads.
Is it a percentage of your daily intake or something like that?
Yeah, so there'll be some nutrition list out there.
That's really funny.
We'll know all the jargon.
So it's all about the yolk.
So it's all about the yolks, unless you want the protein. So I love egg whites, obviously, because of my muscles,
I love egg whites. I love egg whites because of the way they taste.
But what if you've got kids or a husband or a wife or a partner or whatever who won't eat the yolk? What do you do?
What do you do?
You put it in this. This here is an egg spinner. And you put the egg on this and put it in there and you spin it and it whips the yolk and the white together inside the egg and you get a yellow egg. You peel off a hard-boiled egg, and it's just a solid yellow
egg.
Oh,
my God.
Right?
And it doesn't taste of yolk.
Well, I don't know. I haven't done it yet because I broke that one.
But what does yolk even taste of? I don't know why people are funny about it.
Yeah, it does have a funny kind of clammy.
I think I've got the... from, like, my kids all eat the yolk. They don't eat
the
white.
Egg. Oh, I love both.
They don't eat the white. So actually, this would be good for them.
Yeah.
Forget about kids that don't like the yolk.
Oh, yeah. I guess if you don't like the white,
it's the other way around.
Like, don't worry about it.
If you don't like the white, you can't see the white. It's just all that is very.
You get a whole yellow egg. And if you cut it down the middle and open it, it's just a solid yellow egg.
And, okay. So, and then you can just like dippy dippy in salt and.
Well, yeah, you'd slice it up and do an egg sandwich or something like that, I guess.
Wow.
Well, it does say you can do a soft-boiled egg. I don't know how it'd be soft-boiled because it would just all be like scrambled egg inside the egg.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm going to do another one. So look, tonight...
We've got to experiment with that.
Podcast is over, we'll do a couple of eggs and we'll see what it's like. I'm going to take some pictures
Where did you hear about that?
Obviously, it's in my Instagram algorithm because I look at stuff like this.
Because I introduced you to something the other day and I came back from a day out and like you'd done it all. The whole house was remote control plugged, sorted.
Yes. Are you talking about them?
Yeah.
Oh, great. These are brilliant.
So I saw a woman who was like, top 10 things you can buy that will change your life on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And this was number one. And I didn't even get to look at the next nine because
I was
on Amazon buying them. So they're basically, if you look up plug remote control, that's what I looked up. And they are called sort of remote control plug socket. And you can buy them in loads of different formations. I would imagine that they are pretty much all the same. They are about £35 for five. And what happens is you plug the plug into the socket and then you plug the lamp or in our case, the festoon lights
or
an amp
or the bar
or
lights.
Anything that plugs into a socket, you plug that into that plug socket and it then becomes remote control. So you Bluetooth the remote control to that plug socket. And you then have three or four different, so with the five different plug sockets, you've got five different numbers and they refer to each different.
Yes, because I plugged all these in while you were out. So on the back of each plug has got a number that corresponds to the number on the remote control. So you know which one is which.
Oh, great. So you don't have to Bluetooth them or anything.
You don't have to Bluetooth
them
or anything.
They're already done.
You just literally plug them in, plug your lamp
in. Even better than I thought.
It's now a remote control lamp. Now, it's not smart technology, it's infrared technology or what is it? What's the other
one?
So
you need
radio waves, I think. It's radio waves.
You need to be able to point your remote.
Not really. You just got to be in the vicinity because that's it. It's radio waves, sorry. It's not infrared. So I don't think it needs to be pointed. So the one I've done in the bar is hidden in the cupboard. You don't need to open the cupboard door to do it. It just senses it. So I think it's probably a tiny frequency that it pushes out. It's really good. The only time, because I did think, oh my God, these are absolutely brilliant. And then I thought, I'm going to buy another set. That's when it gets a bit tricky because you've got a mixture of frequencies going on there. So you have to be careful. Don't think you can buy 10 and only use one remote for all 10.
No.
It gets a bit more complicated when you expand out. But five of them, I think you might be able to buy bigger sets. But a five set is absolutely brilliant.
It's a game changer.
It's one of the best things you bought.
Thank you. I feel very proud about it. And I thought
how much would...
It's £35 for five plugs.
So I've done an amp and I've done the bar lights.
Then my favourite is the festoon lights because the festoon lights are outside.
We've got some outside.
And I didn't, I was getting really lazy about turning them on in the evening.
I know.
And the time when you want to turn them on is in the winter. But I didn't want to go outside to the plug because it was cold.
Yeah.
So I was just not bothering to put them on. And now we can remote control them. You can put them on in the evening, turn them off from the kitchen, warm kitchen. It's so nice.
These are really good. I'm so glad you bought them and I'm so glad you recommended them. Like, I would highly recommend them. I'd give these a 5-star.
Yes, and what's quite nice, there isn't a specific brand that you would say this brand is better than others. I think they're all much of a muchness, but it is just an amazing product. So as a product, we're just generally recommending these remote control plug sockets are brilliant.
Just to go back to my egg scrambler, it's called the Egg Scrambler and it was £11.89. And it was on Amazon.
So when it's called an egg scrambler, that does lead us to believe that you could scramble an egg inside the egg. If we can scramble an egg inside the shell, I will freak out.
Yeah.
Show me. Is there a video?
Yeah, I think there is a video, right?
So, right, I want to watch it.
Funky music. Huh? I've been using GarageBand.
Oh, Okay, so not really scrambled. I didn't see any scrambled eggs there.
Oh, no, but the idea is that it scrambles the white.
Yeah, but I wondered if you could have like white, like runny, bit runny.
Yeah, and then you could just crack the egg into a pan, obviously, and then cook it, and you'd get scrambled eggs. But obviously, it'd be easier to whisk up in with a fork. Anyway, I just wanted to let people know
that
how much it was.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was quite good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to doing that later. On the subject of comedians that we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
I went to see a comedian this weekend with me dad at the Trinity Theatre, the Trinity Church Theatre in Tunbridge Wells.
Trinity Theatre.
Trinity Theatre. It's in a church, though.
Yeah.
That's why I thought I'd throw the church in. I rebranded it without them asking me to. Did you know that it's under threat, I think, of being closed down because it's running out of money?
No.
Yeah, I'd like to help in some way. I don't know how I'm supposed to help, but there's a local theatre in Tunbridge Wells called the Trinity, and I think they're struggling to...
Trinitytheatre.net.
Okay. So if you're in the area, go and buy tickets to that. That'll probably be the best thing you do to help it survive.
I think what we need to do is just start booking more stuff, because I've been there.
Yeah.
I have... Joel Dommett, weirdly,
yes,
has played there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great venue.
But I have been there for a very long time in Tunbridge Wells, and I've never been there.
Well, they do cinema screenings there, so there's lots of films there. And I'll tell you who's on later on this year.
Who?
Which you'd like to go and see, Bridget Christie.
Oh, yes!
She's playing the Trinity in November.
Yes!
So I'll get us four tickets for that.
Yes!
Yeah. I'd love to see her. I've heard all about her.
Yes, I've never she's amazing.
Seen her. Yeah. So I went to see Hal Cruttendon there. Now, Hal Cruttendon's a comedian I've seen loads, and he's always brilliant. And he was obviously brilliant on Saturday night. So I'd highly recommend people perhaps go and Google him or go onto the YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know him, yeah.
People think he's gay. He's very camp, or he's got a very kind of camp
way about him.
Demeanor, I think. Mm. And he uses that quite a lot, and it could slightly throw you off, you know, but he's married with kids and all the rest of it. But this particular tour is about him getting divorced.
Yeah.
The whole thing is about him getting divorced. So it's very, you know, it's kind of emotionally charged and very funny as a result of that, because you're slightly sad, but also can't help but laugh at the sadness, you
yes.
know? So it's quite a nice dynamic he's got, but he did a bit on Long Lost Family,
yes.
which I've told you, so I'll tell you again for the point of the viewers, because I thought it was a very, very funny gag. But he was talking about how he watches reality TV and how, you know, they exploit people on reality TV, perhaps whether it's celebrities get them to eat kangaroos' penises and things like that. But he said what he loves is Long Lost Family, because there is no exploitation in there. And I was thinking, oh, be careful, you're in my territory here, like... Don't say there's no exploitation and then make a joke about my girlfriend or something. So I'm going to have to punch you in the face. You know?
Oh, my God, you're going to do Will Smith on Hal Cruttendon at the Trinity Theatre.
That's exactly what it would be like, yeah. Keep your wife's name out of your
mouth,
something like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, he said he talked about Long Lost Family, and he talked about it. It's just so amazing.
Can I quickly just do a disclaimer?
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to go, oh, my God, they're married.
Yeah, yes.
I said, we're not married.
We're not married, yeah.
Yeah. It was Will Smith said that. Yeah. Just in case.
I know, just in case.
Yeah.
It's exhausting, isn't it? Anyway, he said, you know, the thing about these is that these parents at one point have had to give their children up for adoption. And he said, you know, it's obviously been difficult, but they've given them up. And then 30, 40 years later, they're trying to find each other. And Davina comes along and brings them back together. And they're like, oh my God, I love you. I've missed you so much. I can't believe I was so sorry I put you up for adoption. There was all these problems and all that. And the other end. And he basically went, I wished I'd put my kids up for adoption.
It's terrible.
He said, it turns out that they love you anyway in the end. And I wouldn't have to spend all that money. I wouldn't have had to do all the work and everything. And then, boom, 30 years, Davina would bring them round. And then, bang, we're all in love and everything's happy. You know? And, oh my God, I rolled about laughing. It was so nicely
done. And also, I think
you know?
The other thing is that the relief as well, because you're thinking, am I going to have to get up there and punch you in the face?
Yeah.
And then it was like, actually, no, it's just a joke about something else.
I was there with my dad as well. So there would have been a certain amount of social pressure on me if he just slagged you off and made a joke.
My dad
would have looked at me and said,
what are you going to do about that, son?
Yeah, and I would have had to get up and pushed Hal Cruttendon around and stuff.
Yeah.
And horrific. Anyway, if you're listening to this, Hal, or we screen grab this and put it on Instagram or whatever, I just want to say I really love your show. And I've seen you a few times and introduced you to my kids not long ago, because we saw you in London at a club. My young son thought you were absolutely brilliant. So great work. Keep it up.
And get tickets to go and see the show. You must be touring. Oh yeah, around.
You must be touring. And it's called, I'm glad you hear it. You should hear this from me, I think is the name of the show. Mm. And like all these comedy shows, they get given names before the show exists. So he said it was very fortunate that something quite bad happened to him because the title now fits with the act. Which is quite a good joke.
Yeah. I want to talk about something that I showed you a couple of weeks ago, and I've been slightly obsessed about it because you and I, we love seeing inside people's houses.
Oh.
It's so good, isn't
it? We're nosy.
Yeah, and we're that's nosy. The whole point about Through the Keyhole. You don't really care whose house it is.
No.
You're just like, ooh.
Yeah. Go on.
No, go on. I was going to say,
as much as I love Keith Lemon and his take on Through the Keyhole, I don't really care. I just want to see the house.
Yeah.
And want to guess whose house it is.
Yeah.
You know, you can make it funny if you like, or you can go back to the Lloyd Grossman version. I just don't care. Show me the house.
Show me a house.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think all estate agents become estate agents because they just love looking at people's houses.
Yeah.
It's got to be the best job in the world. And just looking at different people's taste and why they do things, or looking at people's houses for inspiration. And we have found a site that is basically the best form of Pinterest you've ever seen. And sometimes people are very unexpected and their houses are very strange, and other times their houses are exactly as you would hope. Anyway, I'm talking about Architectural Digest, which is a really nice kind of interiors magazine. It's American. It's prohibitively expensive to buy. And they've done this amazing thing called Open Door AD.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look up Open Door AD on YouTube, it is absolute heaven. So David Harbour, who is in Stranger Things, and he's married to Lily Allen.
Yeah, great.
Love that. As a pairing, best pairing ever.
It's pretty good.
The other thing is, you know, you get an insight into their house, which gives you an insight into them as people. But for that one, you got an insight into their relationship.
Yes, quite interesting, isn't it?
So good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, best couple ever.
Yes.
Like I thought, oh.
Can we go around there for dinner?
Yeah, yeah. And I just thought, I totally see this.
Mm.
They are really good together.
Mm.
The magic was happening.
Yeah.
So it was put up 3 weeks ago, and it's already had 5.5 million views.
Wow.
Yeah. So they've done David Harbour and Lily Allen. We've got Dieter Von Teese. We've got Erica Badu. Ellen Pompereau, anybody who's a big Grey's Anatomy fan will be very excited by that. Dakota Johnson's, we must have a look at that one. I haven't had a look at that yet. Cara Delevingne, Travis Barker. Travis Barker goes out with the Kardashian. I'm not I can't quite remember who it is. 13 million views. Yes. Lenny Kravitz's Brazilian Farm Compound.
Wow.
You want to have a look at that, don't you?
I do want to look at that.
Anybody that loved High School Little Musical, Vanessa Hudgens, who played Gabriella in High School Musical, you get to look around her home.
It's Sienna Cribs, Miller. It's like a,
yeah, it's Cribs, but like posh Cribs.
Yeah.
Okay. And filmed really nicely. Seth Rogen. Yes. And Seth Rogen's quite interesting.
He's done a real good career shift from those kind of weedy comedy films, weedy as in smoke weed.
Yeah.
Turned quite sophisticated acting.
Yeah.
Hasn't he? I loved him in Pam and Tommy.
Yes.
That drama. I thought he was great in that. And I've seen him in something recently where we're like, oh my God, it's Seth Rogen. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, and he didn't look like Seth Rogen at all. I can't remember what it was.
The Fablemans.
Oh, yes.
Yes, he plays the best friend.
Very, very good.
Mm.
So anyway, I would absolutely highly recommend it. Like Dieter Von Teese was really, really good. I mean, her house was exactly as you would want to see. And it isn't about taste.
Yeah.
It's about being interested in, matching that person with this house.
Yeah.
And, I wouldn't have seen you in a house like that. It's so...
It is amazing, isn't it? Because... certainly from actors, what you see is the characters they play. You very rarely see them. So actually to take a glimpse into their house, it's so at odds with perhaps the characters she'd played in Stranger Things, or even Lily Allen as a kind of singer or as an artist.
And I'm also like very, 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 very private. I don't really let people see a corner of my house.
The garden.
And I would let people see our gym, for example, like when we're in the gym. I don't mind that. I've made that a sort of space that I film in sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You feature in those films.
Mm-hmm.
But I think our house we have to keep
What we should probably do once is do one of these, but borrow somebody's house. And just like pretend it's
our house. No, people don't do that.
You know that Richard Bacon show, like, Is This My House or Your House or whatever it's called? Have you seen that show?
No.
Oh, it's really good.
Is it? Yeah, where is yeah. it? Why have I not
it's
seen
it? It's on the
it?
BBC. This is the Stacey Dooley thing. So basically, there's a house and there's three people.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's a panel of celebrity guessers. So you'll probably be asked to be on this at one point, right? And three people show you around the house and you've got to guess whose house it is out of the three people showing you around.
It's Would I Lie to You, but for houses.
But for houses, yeah. But of course, one, you get to see a really cool house. But two, you get to see everybody lying. Because the person whose house it is also trying to pretend that it's not really their house. So they're doing a slightly shit job of selling
it,
you know.
Is it the famous people's houses or is it a normal person?
No, I think it's normal person's
okay,
houses.
That's much more interesting.
But they're really, they can be really quite palatial houses or not, you know, like, but it's a really interesting format. I think it's called My House or Yours or something like that. You have to Google that, but it's a really good format.
Let's look that up because I think it would be nice to talk about. Yeah, go on.
A comedian appeared on my algorithm this week talking about the types of pornography that he used to watch. And one of the things he talks about was that there's a type of pornography called real estate porn.
Oh, yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, where a real estate lady shows, you know, a couple around a house and then they have a threesome.
What?
Yes, real estate porn.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Sorry, I was not expecting that.
I'm not recommending that, but I was recommending the comedian, which I can't remember his name now, but he said, I'm at an age now where I'd rather just show me around the house.
Is that a thing?
Yes, it's a thing.
Oh, my God, that is so funny.
And I thought it was very good because there's a great bit in Alan Partridge where he's watching porn and he sees the kitchen in the background, a Pog and Paul kitchen, and he's like, oh. And he's definitely trying to use it as a reference point for the type of kitchen he would like, you know. He's so not interested in the pornography. And, you know, I'm at that age myself.
I'm trying to find it.
What?
And it's not on Wikipedia.
What isn't?
Stacey Dooley's TV programme.
Ah, it's called, it'd be on the BBC iPlayer. The Stacey Dooley House Show. This is my house. Yeah, this is my house.
Oh, this is my house.
Yeah.
I thought...
This is my house.
You typed in the Stacey Dooley House Show.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wow, that's quite a basic name for a show. I thought that it was called the Stacey Dooley House Show.
Thought Google might be able to find it if I call it that. This is my house, returning to the BBC One, but without Stacey Dooley. Dun, dun, dun.
Who's presenting?
I don't know. According to the broadcast, new episodes will be in evolved 30-minute format rather than the previous hour-long format. Oh, maybe they're doing it without...
A presenter.
Yeah, don't know. Don't know who's going to host it. Stacey's probably just busy.
No, she's had a baby.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She'll be busy with baby.
With baby.
Aye. Okay, so let me have a little look at my list. I've got a few things here. First of all, a website that I stumbled across this week, which I loved, which was called 80scasualclassics.co.uk.
Oh, my God. This is so up your street.
Isn't it just?
Look at that. Oh, my God. Smithy.
Sergio Toscini. Fila. Alessi.
Oh, my God.
Puma. Deodora. I mean, look at all this
stuff. Isn't this so interesting that this is now vintage?
Yeah. I mean, it's super cool. I mean, look at that. This is great, isn't it? I want one of these. They're not even particularly expensive. I keep meaning to buy one. And then I got to the bit where, you know, you've got to fill all your details in and then someone spilled a drink and then my phone rang and all the rest of it. But if you're into the older 80s breakdancing clobber, as I was, I mean, I was brought up on Fila and Sergio Toscini and all of that stuff. This is a great website, 80scasualclassics.co.uk. I'm going to be shopping here and I will post some bits and pieces, but I just want to show you one.
Can you send it to Chester, please?
Yeah, of course I can. There was one particular top that I really was like.
I think he'd really like that.
Yeah, because it is very cool and he likes kind of sports cash, doesn't he? That's what I want. It's so cool.
Velour. Yeah, it's velour.
I know, look at that. It's just so nice in those colours.
Take
and
a look at that.
I'll take a picture of this for you, folks. But they only do it in a small, and I'm pretty much an extra small, so it might not be any good for me that. But It's just, there's just so many cool things there. So that was one.
That is really good.
Yes, I stumbled across. Now, the other thing, folks, I don't know if you've been listening to the J.K. Rowling witch hunt, the witch trials of J.K. Rowling.
You talked about that a bit last week, didn't you?
But we'd not listened to any of it when we last recorded this program. We only listened to the trailer.
You were going to listen to it.
So I've listened to the first two episodes, and then there was a third episode out today. The third episode has been really fascinating. A lot less about J.K. Rowling and just more about what has happened.
Society.
Since the birth of social media, because the whole idea that the internet was going to democratize the world and it would be a true democracy. It's not actually as it's played out at all, is it? And social media seems to have come along and slightly corrupted the whole idea around the freedom of the internet and is silencing people or, you know, peddling mistruths and stuff like that. So it becomes less about J.K. Rowling in the third episode, more about the culture of what's going on the internet. And I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed episode three. And what I would say is, I was going to say, I can't believe how much I've learned. But you have to be cautious about what you're being fed, of course. So I'm not like blindly taking this information in and saying, well, this is it as fact. But the big thing is this platform called Tumblr.
I remember Tumblr.
Yeah, but I never used Tumblr or anything like that. And I didn't really know what it was. You just used to see it as an option. But it was a big, big thing in America driving this culture of trolls and online bullying more so than any other platform. And they talk a little bit about why it was good for that and what
came out of
that.
Were there forums on?
Well, no, I think there were forums originally. And Tumblr did this thing where it lumped everything in one place where you didn't necessarily have forums, but you could look through a feed, if you like, of the types of things that were going on in forums.
Because you know what happened with Big Brother is that with the birth of the internet and everybody getting online, they started from just a few voices. And I kept saying, don't pay too much attention to it. Millions of people are watching this show and you're looking at 50 people slagging it off online.
Yeah.
It's not representative because look at the crowds and look at the feedback from viewing figures and everything. It's fine. But these voices had power. They had power in television. They had power in literature. They had power with celebrities. And even right at the beginning, because people were scared.
They still are. I mean, even more so.
More so now.
Because
we've seen the impact that it can have.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And it's when it all shifted onto Twitter, it seems to explode because Twitter was the thing where the journalists and politicians existed. So people that we knew and were respected and smart and one thing or another, all of a sudden this stuff was swimming around on Twitter.
You could get access to them as well. I mean, Emma Kennedy, I think, was having like conversations with Donald Trump.
But it's still remarkable. There's only 200 million Twitter users.
How many?
Did you know that? 200 million.
Yeah, I'm amazed by that when you think about the billions of people that use TikTok.
If there's the possibility that 10 to 20% of them aren't even real people or multiple accounts.
More than that, I would say. Almost, I look at many, many comments and I look at the accounts of the people that are commenting and they can either be really, really loving or really, really horrible, but they're always extreme. They'll have three followers.
Yeah, and they've been around since 2012
or
something.
Yeah, and they'll be following two people and one of them's me. You know, it's like so weird.
So weird, isn't it? But, I mean, that's not a lot of people considering there's billions in the world. You know, 200 million users and some of them aren't even real. I hope people are listening to that and really enjoying it because I think it's a great recommendation.
I must listen to it.
Yeah, well, I'm halfway through episode three at the moment.
And how long is each episode?
Yeah, they're about 45, 48 minutes, you know. What is interesting, the girl who's hosting this, I don't even know anything about her or not. Did you ever watch the Louis Theroux documentary where he went to America and spent time with that really hard right Christian family who was stood outside funerals kind of?
Oh, yes,
saying,
I did.
Yeah,
I did. Your kids. I have seen it.
She's one of the daughters of that family who managed to leave the family and try and go and kind of.
And he was talking to the kids, wasn't he? About
He interviews her in the first one. And when he goes back, she's left. She's the woman who's produced and
so would you say she's like a hard right Christian?
No, like she's
values.
Free of all of that. She left it all behind.
All of it,
you know?
Behind, right.
And,
so it's not coming from...
Ironically, saw the light.
Is it not political, this, or is it quite political?
No, I don't think it. I think it feels apolitical to me.
To you, yeah.
What's interesting is I read some of the reviews on iTunes last night, and it was people saying this is so one-sided and unbalanced. You know, J.K. Rowling's being left to say whatever she likes.
Yes.
I can't believe.
She's not been able to speak for years.
This is the thing, and I was thinking...
Isn't that the point?
First of all, it's only two episodes in, and you can't call it unbalanced when you've only heard two episodes out of 10 for a start. So how you can even have that opinion is a joke. But the second thing is, the debate around J.K. Rowling has been so one-sided for so long, you've never even heard the other side because everyone's too scared to even talk about it. So I just thought, God, it's hysterical that you could even call it one-sided, you know, from her side, and from two episodes. So what's nice about it is it's opening up to a general conversation about the culture and less about J.K. Rowling. And then I'm sure it's going to swing back to that as well towards the end. But anyway,
I think what makes me really sad, and even you talking about this podcast hurts my heart, is that we have become on social media haters or lovers.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no middle deciding ground. Yeah. You either hate or you love. But, and it is really sad and dark when people just try and bring somebody down for expressing an opinion. But then there are also some really hateful opinions out there. And you are expected to just look at that opinion and not get upset about it. It's really hard to navigate.
It is.
You know, one of the things we've talked about this before is that if for whatever reason we never had to work again, you and I would quite possibly like to
leave social media.
Not leave altogether. I think I would still like to have like an Instagram, a secret Instagram account where I can still see my friends and you know, and follow people that I enjoy. But Sarah, my best friend, is off social media.
Yeah, I'm so jealous.
And, well, a part of me misses her because there are things that it was the anniversary of my dad's death yesterday, and I would have loved her to have seen the post because she loved my dad. And in the end, I forgot. Last night, I thought I'm going to send her the video, so I sent her the video via text because I have to think about the fact that she's not on social media. So it's quite interesting. It's hard. Like people I don't really know what I do every day, but my best friend doesn't. So actually when I see her, we aren't just going, yeah, I saw you at that thing the other night. She's going, so what have you been doing? It's really interesting.
Yeah.
It alters our entire relationship. I have a different relationship to Sarah than I do to other friends because she doesn't know what I've been up to.
Yeah, well, then reference points are completely different, aren't they? The other thing I found it interesting, and you must have seen this in the growth of your following, is that now I've got, I guess, a decent sized following. I've got about 117,000 people. Obviously, there's now a greater proportion of dislike for me because there's just more people.
Yes.
And as soon as I hit 100,000, I've noticed that more, you know, there's more, I wouldn't call it hate, but I get, you know, I do get people being quite nasty about me or nasty about the post or something like that. And I think, where did that come from? But I guess it's
Look at the account.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Always look at the account.
I do.
And they'll have two followers. Honestly, it's people just throw.
But just for in the interest of balance, I'm extremely grateful for everybody who says nice things to Instagram because it does weirdly matter.
It does matter. Yeah. And also, it's also quite hard to.
You worry about people.
Yeah. But it does get to a point where you are numb to it. I want to talk about somebody really, 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 really positive. I got tinnitus after I had COVID and it bothers me a bit. So I thought I'd go and see somebody about if it's something that I could get rid of because it came on because of COVID. I thought maybe like with COVID it might go. Anyway, I went to see this guy who was recommended to me who's called Joseph Magnali. And he's on Instagram as Ear Surgeon Joe.
That's a good name.
And he is really, really interesting. Now, what I didn't know is that hearing is incredibly important for many, many things. But one of them, which I thought was absolutely a game changer, was the effect that not being able to hear properly had on your likelihood to get dementia or Alzheimer's.
Fascinating.
And it massively increases your risk more than lifestyle choices of getting dementia. So if you are struggling with your hearing, and that all disappears when you get hearing aids, please don't think twice about getting your hearing tested. You can get it done at, I think, Specsavers. You can get it done on the high street. Get your hearing tested. It's a very, very simple procedure. And find out if you have got any loss of hearing in either ear. Because hearing aids nowadays are so much more advanced. There are ways that you can have a hearing aid in and nobody would ever, ever know. It's a long way away from the 70s where you used to have this enormous contraption on the side of your head. Also, sometimes with loss of hearing, and I know it's aging and I know it's, and I'm not ashamed of getting older, but I know it makes you feel old when you can't hear. Mm-hmm. And your partner may be more aware, or your friends or somebody that you work with may be more aware of your loss of hearing than you are. Ask people if they think that you might be hard of hearing, and then go and do something about it, because there are also operations that can solve it mm-hmm. and clear it. He talks about all the different types of being hard of hearing, about what he can do, all the new medical breakthroughs, but he does it in an amazingly, you know, Dr. Nagat Arif, yeah. who's with the way she talks about menopause and yeah. how brilliant she is. He is so accessible. Mm-hmm. He just speaks in a way that is so simple. If you want to listen to the podcast that I did with him, go back on my Instagram page. It wasn't a podcast. It was live.
Yeah.
And have a listen to what we talked about, because we specifically talked about being hard of hearing and developing Alzheimer's and dementia. But he is absolutely brilliant. And if you've got any worries about it at all, go onto his page. He's got tons of free information to access on there. And, you know, I had my hearing tested, and my hearing is good for a woman of my age. So I was really relieved about that, that the often tinnitus comes with 22.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Knew it.
I've been in the sun a lot. Anyway, yeah, he's great. Ear Surgeon Joe.
I was amazed by what you told me about hearing. I guess it makes sense, because if there's a lack of information going into your brain, then your brain doesn't need to process that.
And I think you just start zoning out.
Yeah, start zoning out.
Because if you can't hear things at dinner parties, or you can't hear something that somebody's telling you, and you just kind of nod, but you're missing every third or fourth word, and then your brain will adjust to try and help with that, but then it gives up.
I probably should get a hearing test. I've listened to things on headphones for most of my adult life, I would say.
I mean, I was convinced I would have absolutely trashed mine from clubbing and also listening to the loudest music I could possibly access on my headphones. So I think I get the impression, Michael, that your hearing is absolutely fine.
Pardon? Classic joke. So we went to see David Gray last night at the New Union Chapel. Is it the New Union Chapel?
I think it's just called the Union Chapel.
It's just called Union, just not even the...
You're adding a lot of words in today. Trinity Theatre.
The Trinity Church Theatre.
The New Union Chapel.
I've gone crazy.
Yeah.
So we bought these tickets a while back. They appeared on my Instagram feed. God, I get everything from Instagram these days. But God, what a venue the Union Chapel is.
We've got to post a picture.
Yeah.
I'm going to send one right now to make it
a cut. Yeah. So first of all, I'd like to recommend the venue. It's by Highbury and Islington Tube in Islington, North London. So if you're coming outside of London, you'd come into King's Cross, and it's one stop away from King's Cross. So it's really easy to get to. Seats about 1,000 people, but I don't think there's a bad seat in the house. And the sound and the acoustics in there and everything are absolutely breathtaking. Mm. So it was brilliant. So we did the album Skellig last night, which was an album that came out during lockdown, and it's very kind of subtle and low-key, really, wasn't it? Although his band was massive.
And also what was lovely was that he seemed quite emotional.
It brought back
lots of memories, I think, for him. Being in Scotland, he recorded it in Scotland, didn't he? And we had, like, lots of tales and stuff about
it.
And also really he's a big bird watcher.
He's a bird watcher.
I didn't know that. Told me that last night.
So a lot of his songs, if you look at the lyrics in them, have got references to starlings and various birds and seagulls and all sorts of things. So there was quite a lot of that going on last night. And I like that. It gives you a little insight into the artist, really, doesn't it?
Is he touring the UK?
I think he's doing 10 shows, of Skellig. But the thing I would recommend is if you go to mandolin.com, they're doing a live stream from the Union Chapel on the 7th of March.
Oh, great.
So if you can't get tickets to go and you'd really like to see that show, there's a live stream on mandolin.com, and it's the 7th of March. I'm guessing it'll be about 8:45 in the evening. And
what's mandolin.com?
I don't actually know. I've never heard of it before, so it just says it on the post here. If you go and follow David Gray on...
I wonder if that's his
Streaming... if you go and follow him on the Instagrams, all the information's there. You can go and see that. But there were some breathtaking moments in there. And one thing I like about David Gray a lot is he's always smiling when he's on stage, where most people look bloody grumpy or miserable. They've got this kind of weird attitude about being up there. But it's just so nice to see somebody so happy in their work and feel so appreciative that people have come, and also loving the musicians that they're surrounded with, and appreciation of what it's like to cut 10 people to make a sound in harmony together is bloody brilliant. So anyway, it was really good. I'm sure
I've got
David
one
Gray
thing to finish
to
on.
This, but well done, David.
Oh, well done, David. Yeah, he's listening. No, he was amazing. I always find him emotional listening to David Gray. I don't know why. I want to quickly talk about one business that has sent me a candle and a refill, and I thought it was such a clever idea, because what happens usually is the candle is inside the cup, and then, you know, the ceramic pot that the candle is in, and then you burn the candle, and for whatever reason, the pot is one size, you can't put another candle in it, and it becomes a bit redundant, and 9 times out of 10, you'll just throw that lovely ceramic pot away. And it's,
you noticed I've kept a lot of 34s.
Yeah, you keep loads of them. Yeah. And it's such a waste. Well, but 34 is a really good example.
It's
because
a lovely pot, isn't
it's
it?
It's a lovely pot, but no candle fits in that pot.
Yeah.
It's an oval pot.
Yeah, it's very weird, isn't it? I don't know what to do with them, but I really don't want to throw them out.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
At home?
I do.
We've got the blue one.
Yeah.
So I'm worried I'm going to mispronounce this. It's a Welsh company, and I'm really worried about saying it. But it's called Cefnfor Candle Company.
Okay.
CCC Candle Company.
Well done.
It's spelt CEFNFOR. Cefnfor. That's what I'm going to call it.
Okay.
And it says candles that are the candles that are kind. Be kind to ourselves. Be kind to each other. Kind to animals and kind to the planet. Cefnfor, I'm probably saying it wrong, please forgive me, is Welsh for ocean. Basically, did you know that 300 million candles are burned every year, and that is a lot of empty jars, right? So they've created the never-ending candle. So it's one jar and infinite amounts of refills. They're all custom-made. The pots are handmade in Wales. Each one is completely unique, which I love. No two are exactly the same. And then she lovingly makes, or they lovingly make, candles in their little kitchen using plant-based wax, which is biodegradable and vegan. Sustainable fragrances, essential oils, and she really does, because I've you know, received it, use absolutely minimal packaging and everything. So I am highly recommending this company. It is absolutely gorgeous. If you look up CCC Candles or Cefnfor Candle Company at gmail.com is their email. They are brilliant. And I would highly recommend them.
Oh, great.
And the smell is absolutely gorgeous.
I love a candle. We've got
them, I love candles.
We've got them in the studio, and we burn them a lot. And I never thought I'd say this, but I really love lighting a candle and just like doing the work with a bit of music on and the smell and everything.
Mm. Why did you, why would you say I never, did you slightly scoff at candles?
I'm a geezer, you know, like birthday candles would blow them out, you know what I mean? But actually now I like the fragrance and the way it makes me feel and all that, you know. I'll be on wax melts next off, you know. So I'm ordering you a Deliveroo Nando's.
Yes, please.
You're getting a butterfly chicken, medium, and you're getting regular spiced grains and butternut squash on the side. I'm going to get some coleslaw. I love coleslaw. Mm. And I'm just going to get a quarter chicken hot. I'm going to have some grilled halloumi on the side.
Oh, nice.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to order that right now.
God, every time I look at that picture of Ronnie on your computer, it makes my heart bleed.
Oh, I know. God, I can't.
It's quite painful,
I might have to change the me desktop screensaver thing. Let me check out at here. I'm excited for this. I have eaten chicken for lunch, though, so there'll be double chicken today, but I'll be all right, won't I? I've gone hot at Nando's. I know. Okay, let's do some shout-outs and read-outs. Okay.
Oh, I forgot to talk about shrinking. I'm going to talk about it next week.
Well, I have done Shrinking.
I know, but I want to talk about it.
You want to talk about it as well. Okay, yeah. And Davina started watching Shrinking, and I started watching it again, and I'm liking it even more the second time
around. I don't want to talk about it now because I feel like I need to give it a lot.
Okay, go for your life.
Okay, if you guys like the sound of Bingo Lingo, you're going to have to absolutely check out Bongo's Bingo, Craziest Night Out Ever. It sounds like Bongo's Bingo is the same as Bingo Lingo.
Could be, couldn't it?
Different brand.
Yeah.
But I'm so into the bingo revival.
Mm.
Like, let's make bingo appealing to all generations. I love it.
Yeah. I've always loved bingo. That's from Samantha Hughes. Thank you very much, Samantha. So Glendale Glass. God, Glendale, that brings back memories for me.
Why?
So I lived on Dalehead Road. I lived on a housing estate where all the names were named after the Lake District. So I lived on Dalehead Road, and there was Langdale and Wyresdale, but there was Glendale. And at the bottom of Glendale, which
was... Who lived there?
Well, at the bottom of Glendale was a home for, you know, orphans. Aww. I know. So... It was this kind of mysterious thing when I was growing up that there were these kids that were kind of locked in this place. They didn't really come out and play or anything like that. And the housing estate I lived on was like full of kids playing, but never played people from the home. You know, it was like Glendale home. And it was this kind of slightly spooky, mysterious place.
I wonder if that's actually true that they didn't play.
Oh, well, we did get to know a couple of them, but they weren't there very long. They'd be in there for maybe like two or three weeks
adopted.
And then they'd get fostered. Or adopted, or whatever. But a lot of them were quite naughty, you know, so you were quite scared if you saw them because they backed onto the woods where we played and occasionally they'd climb over the fence and we'd be like, oh my God, they're out. No, we'd been running away from them. They were probably just looking for a friend, you know, but it was on Glendale and it was like, oh God, it's really brought back quite a kind of a brilliant bit of nostalgia for me there. So let's have a little look what we've got here. So this was on Saturday. Hello, Davina and Michael. I am an avid listener to your lovely podcast, and Michael's hair clinics are also great. Thank you. I wanted to recommend George Ezra's new documentary. I've heard about this. He's got a documentary.
And apparently it is absolutely phenomenal.
Wow. It's called End to End, and it's on Amazon Prime. It follows him and his school friends walking from Land's End to John O'Groats while meeting musicians from all walks of life, and it's really inspiring and wholesome. A few people have recommended this, haven't they?
Yes.
My daughter also has a small business on Etsy, and I'd like to recommend where she sells handmade stained glass flowers. Oh, well, nice. They're so beautiful, and she works so hard, and it's called Glendale Glass on Etsy and Instagram. Thanks so much. Oh, well, thanks for that, Nikki. That's great. We must watch this George Ezra thing, because about four people, I think, have messages about that.
Yeah.
Four. Can you believe it? All four of them.
I mean,
that's 100% of our listeners.
We've hit the big time.
great.
Catching up on your podcasts, I've missed you. If you haven't watched it already and love something a little bit scary, try Red Rose on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So good. Emma Wood. I obviously won't be watching this. I have, I think we may have discussed this the other day, but discovered that I am just really annoying to watch scary things with on the television. We're going to see, what are we going to see tonight?
We're going to the cinema after we've eaten Nando's. We're going to see Cocaine Bear.
And it's very jumpy out of your skin.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, the bear just kills everybody on cocaine rampage.
It accidentally consumes a kilo of cocaine.
And this is a true story.
It's a true story, yeah. And then it goes mad.
And
I think it's funny, though. I think
you're going
to
get really
film.
Annoyed with me.
I'm not.
But I'm going to grab the person on the other side.
That'll be me.
You're going to be everywhere.
I'll be everywhere, yeah.
All at once.
Everything, everywhere, all at once. Heidi Plom. We haven't heard from Heidi for a while.
Oh,
God,
Heidi,
this is a big one.
It's a biggie.
Hello, Davina and Michael and band members. I like that. We're one big band. I'm way behind on EPs, but wanted to say how brilliant Davina's idea for Legacy is.
Yeah.
Might happen, right?
Yeah, well, I'm talking to people.
is this another thing you've made happen?
Well, I think so. Manifesting.
I think you have, haven't you? You've manifested.
Manifesting.
Can I give you some things to manifest for? Yeah. That would be great. You're obviously very good at it, you know.
If I talk about it enough, I've been talking about Legacy for about 3 or 4 years.
Yes, I think it's longer than that, actually.
Because after Caroline died, so that was 10 years ago.
A very dear friend of mine with stage 4 cancer would be the perfect candidate for a show like this. She's even planning to be at her own funeral and it inspires me daily with her motto, get shit done. Mm. But that's another story. We should all be able to celebrate our own lives with the people we love if we can. I love it, Davina.
Oh, Heidi.
That's an emoji.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah, about her, your friend. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Sandra.
It's almost, I think when the friend is dealing with it brilliantly, it makes it, it's very hard for the people that love them. I mean, it makes it easier, but it's also, it's just heartbreaking for the people left behind.
Well,
and
it feels
the person that's dying understands that as well. It's like such a, when you are dying, you become this superhuman, like this amazing being who's just...
Well, there's a very, there's like a system, isn't there, when somebody's dying that everybody feels sad and then there's all this kind of remorse and then there's all these nostalgic feelings and all that kind of stuff. It's like you're trained from quite a young age to do that because that's what you see on TV and it's what you read in books.
But the person that's dying has to navigate everybody else's feelings, not just their own.
But when they don't respond in the way you're expecting them to, it all becomes like, I'm not entirely sure whether I should be happy or sad or whatever. It's really fascinating. I mean, it's one of the most fascinating things about life, isn't it? My recommendation is The Swimmers, a Netflix true story about two beautiful girls who make a heartbreaking decision to leave Syria and try to create a life elsewhere for the rest of their family. It is heartbreaking. I've heard about this. I think we've had quite a few people recommend Swimmers to
really?
Us. Yeah. The soundtrack, the detail is also perfect. 82%
wow.
Rotten Tomatoes. I hope you enjoy. And thank you, Rose's Thai Cafe. I went there just recently. Ooh, it's brilliant. Okay, let's have one more before we go and eat. You can choose. Where should we go?
That one.
This is...
Just watch Breaking Point. It's a tennis documentary and it's pretty fascinating.
Oh, yeah, I really fancy watching this.
So
I've
do
seen
I.
It, yeah.
That's great because we love Jenny Chandler
has
recommended that. I love recommendations for documentaries because I look at the documentaries and they're all, sometimes they get a bit samey, but Breaking Point sounds like it's really quite different and to get it recommended, that's good.
And the tension in tennis because you're kind of groomed from such a young age that it's so highly competitive once you actually get, you know, to the Wimbledon stakes and stuff. I bet it's brilliant. Thanks very much indeed, Jenny. Well, ladies and gents, this has been lovely. I've enjoyed tonight.
Yes, I mean,
you've been working like a
Trojan
today.
It's been hard today, but it's always nice at the end because I was thinking, oh, I've got nothing to talk about. It's no interest in, like, I've got, you know, when you're in one of those and I feel better. It is like a little hour of therapy.
Yeah, good. I'm really glad. I've really enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed myself too.
Sitting across from you. It's been nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Shall we eat chicken and go to the cinema?
Let's eat chicken.
Now, what about snacks at the cinema?
We've got
to stop eating so much crap.
Well, I'm fasting, so I shouldn't eat anything.
Let's not eat anything. I'm going to take a bottle of icy water with me to the cinema, but nothing else.
Okay.
Lovely to talk to you all, folks.